Welcome to What Happened to Us, and the fine question of are we good is how we're going to start this week's episode.
Are you good?
I'm human, I think.
Okay.
Does that make me good? Debatable. Debatable, Nate.
It could go either way.
It's been an interesting week to be on the sidelines and just watching. Is that a fair way to put it?
Well, it depends which we're talking about.
It can go many ways. It's, it's like, we can think about it like this. There's nothing to say that everything is running well in this country at present time.
Define well.
It's not the best. At a smaller, low-level situation that's going on throughout the country, present time, where people are saying, maybe we shouldn't, fund things that's causing issues.
Is this about the Tom Brady roast?
Yes, that is also part of the problem. Kentucky Derby, Met Gala.
Ah, big week.
It was a big week, shockingly.
Did you watch the roast?
No. Nah, I don't care to hear millionaires making fun of each other. As a PR
stunt. To be fair, only half of them are millionaires.
The comedians, that's fair. But Kim Kardashian, I just saw that she got the nice treatment from the Netflix, it turns out.
Oh, yeah. Well, not a nice treatment from the audience.
No.
But, yeah, where she got booed. And it actually almost made people feel bad for her. Because first of all, people are like, why is Kim Kardashian here?
Well, she had a fling for many a football player, it turns out, or at least one.
Reggie Bush?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's like, that's not really a, there must be a connection somewhere. Because, all of the roasters, for the most part, were your typical group.
Yeah.
Your Nikki Glazers, your...
Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross's, other comedians that have, done roasts over time. I miss Greg Giraldo. He was great at roast. Rest in peace. So was Patrice O'Neill. Rest in peace. And then, they had, again, I didn't watch it. This is all secondhand. They had hit Gronk and a number of his other teammates. Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was actually pretty funny, though very awkward delivering jokes. Evidently, he's actually a very funny, nice dude. He just has this weird reputation for how he coaches on the field, where he hates the media, so he just doesn't answer questions.
Right.
But evidently, all his players say he's hysterical.
That's true. I did see the Drew Bledsoe clips. Those were like
was pretty fun. Yeah.
So
that I always liked it. Bledsoe was one of my favorite players pre-Tom Brady. Mm. I just always enjoyed him, and he kind of, I want to say got screwed by Tom Brady, but he got hurt, almost died on the field, and he lost his job.
Well, he got another job.
He went to the Bills after that. He had a good line. He was the opener of the Tom Brady roast, and he had a good line about, I've already forgotten it.
About being picked number one
two things that Tom Brady will never, he has two things Tom Brady will never understand or never feel, that he was the Drew Bledsoe, he was the number one pick in the draft, and that he's been married for 28 years.
It was a good burn.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of, evidently, both of Tom Brady's exes have come out and not been huge fans of the way they were made fun of.
I didn't know. I just saw the Bridget Moynihan popped up, but I'm like,
she took a couple strays from Nikki Glaser, which, that was a while back. They broke up in like 2006, but Tom Brady did leave her while she was pregnant, so that's gonna stick with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Giselle caught a
she
ton
caught
of strays.
A lot more.
Yeah, because of the whole, leaving, dating your jiu-jitsu instructor post-Tom Brady, and the timeline seems to be murky. Mm-hmm. If you ask Tom Brady, the timeline is murky. But yeah, evidently the only thing that was off the table completely for the jokes was that Tom Brady did not want his kids brought up.
That's fair.
That's fair, and it seemed like everybody abided by that. There was the the stern talking to Jeff Ross Scott for making a Robert Kraft sex joke that people weren't quite sure if that was staged or if that was legit, where Tom Brady went up to Jeff Ross and say, knock this shit off or something like that. Could have gone either way. I don't know. Mm. But I heard it was kind of funny.
Yeah, maybe I'll check it out one day. But maybe. Really it's, I don't particularly, I'm not a huge fan of roast. I'm like,
no, there are a lot of misses. I know Sam has been to several. If she jumps on, like just went back from her Comedy Central day, she would attend a great many of them. I would be curious to know how they are from the audience perspective. Because of, just the way, generally speaking, if you go to tapings of any kind, whether it's stand-up, whether it's sitcoms, any sort of tapings, it is not the same experience you get watching it.
Well, I'll tell you this. I have seen some warm-up comedy for roasts.
Oh.
Like, I was over at the Comedy Store years ago. This is how long ago. It was Jeffrey Ross. It was in the OG room, and Jeffrey Ross was up, and he was doing his Hasselbeck prep for that one. So it was a lot of Hasselbeck jokes.
Who's Hasselbeck?
No, Hasselhoff. Hasselhoff, not Hasselbeck.
Oh, Hasselhoff. It's like, Matt Hasselbeck roast? Yeah. Sorry. Hasselhoff. Oh, that was a while ago.
It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Like, I was still living in that apartment off Sunset a while ago.
I remember that apartment. Yeah. The one over by...
Yeah, by the
House of Blues, right?
Yep.
Yeah. That was where you lived when I first met you. Yeah. You know what? That never occurred to me that the comedians would test out the material in, off. I mean, that's what comedians do, is they test out when they have a big special coming up.
Yeah.
They travel around or play small shows at the Improv, Comedy Store,
Laugh Factory, things like that.
Laugh Factory in LA, working on the material, like honing it.
Yeah,
and then either they go on tour or they work on it for a special. But it never occurred to me that they would. So, like, if you go to the, we've gone many a times. You go to the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, Improv on a random weekday night, and you might get like Chris Rock popping in, or huge comedian Dane Cook and that.
Well, Dane Cook would pop by.
I don't know what I would if Dane Cook popped in and I was at the Laugh Factory. I don't know if I would stay, to be honest.
Dave Chappelle used to pop by the Laugh Factory a lot.
Yeah, so. There was a time when I think I would have appreciated that. Now, not as much.
Yeah.
Not as much. I saw that, no. That never occurred to me that you'd be trying out roast material. I mean, I don't know why not. Does not need to be present for you to try out material.
It helps, but that's because what the hell is it with the David Hasselhoff jokes? It's like... And you're like, oh, it's the roast is coming.
Okay. So. Yeah. I mean, did he start off by acknowledging, like saying, this is why I'm doing this? Or were you sitting in the audience thinking, it's an awful lot of David Hasselhoff jokes.
Yeah. That was kind of like what it was. Hey, Sam, we're talking about the roast.
We were just talking about the Tom Brady roast. And I said that, Sam's been to a ton of roast.
Yeah. That was amazing. Yeah. I kind of missed them, actually. They were so much fun.
Does Comedy Central? I know you're obviously not at Comedy Central anymore, but do they still do roast?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I can't think.
I haven't heard of any recently. So I mean, this whole Tom Brady one like is from Netflix. So
yeah,
it's interesting, and it's like live at the Forum, which I find fascinating.
Yeah, I was shocked, but when I saw that too, because when you would do the Comedy Central ones, what kind of venue was that? I know it wasn't an arena, like that's.
It was like on the Sony lot or like the Paramount lot. It was like on a soundstage.
Oh, okay.
For the most part, or sometimes like we'll use Barker Hangar, but I don't remember any roasts being there. But like we'll use like smaller venues and stuff. It's never open to the public, ever. So it was always like an intimate setting.
Hmm. Interesting.
Like,
well,
a lot of money off of it because of just even ticket sales alone,
No, it makes sense. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it was great. I'm fine just reading about it, not listening.
Yeah, I just catch the clips.
I haven't watched it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. He just seems particularly dull. I guess
I don't like him.
Yeah, I guess there's some things you could roast about him for sure, like the Giselle and all that stuff. But he just himself seems dull.
Brady? Well,
I mean, he did leave his pregnant ex-girlfriend. I mean, I guess ex-girlfriend at the time.
Well, I think they might have been pregnant, right? Yeah, that's the story. That's the story.
The story.
That, yeah, we'll see. She actually addressed it because she was on. She was doing something. Oh, Tom Selleck has a memoir coming out, and Bridget Moynihan's been on that show with Tom, you know, Blue Bloods.
Oh, for yes.
14 years. I had no idea that show was on for 14 years.
Yeah.
So they did some sort of event where Bridget Moynihan was on stage with Tom Selleck. I think it might have been last night or Monday night. And she kind of acknowledged it without acknowledging it, basically saying that, like, she was not happy about catching a stray at the old roast, because you don't even associate those two with each other anymore. That seems so. That was 2006. I would venture to guess a lot of people don't remember that she's the father of one of Tom Brady's children. Man, she had a rough go of it between getting cheated on by Big on Sex and the City and then getting cheated on by Tom Brady in real life. Man, what did she do to deserve any of that?
Karma's sucked. Come back, I think.
She broke her front tooth. I mean, it was rough. She had a rough go in the early 2000s.
She chooses men poorly. That's
probably true. Yeah. Although she was probably... I think she probably it worked out well for her to leave both of those people, Big and fictional character Big and real character Tom Brady.
Yeah, but like if they didn't have a kid, like it would have been like whatever, you know what I mean? Like just another breakup or whatever. So that's fine. But I mean,
well, the same thing.
Co-parent and stuff.
The same thing happened with Billy Crudup when he left Mary Louise Parker when she was, and that was not a I didn't know she was pregnant situation. That was a Mary Louise Parker was like 9 months pregnant situation, and he left her for Claire Danes. And you know, no offense, but no, I'm not even gonna go. I just find Claire Danes to be boring too, and I love Mary Louise Parker, so maybe that's why I'm biased because she's awesome.
I mean, I think both of them are probably kind of annoying in real life, to be honest.
Which two? Billy Crudup or the two women?
Oh, the two women, but probably Billy Crudup too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's with Naomi Watts now. Good for him, you know? Yeah.
And she's with Hugh Dancy, so it worked out for everybody.
Yeah, it worked out. I mean, things happen. I mean, I don't know. I don't think the pregnancy was probably planned, so that probably wasn't in their cards, and that was probably one of the main, I don't know, just conjecture, but maybe it was a reason to leave. I have no idea.
I don't know why I always get Billy Crudup and Jim Caviezel mixed up, and there's really no reason for it because they don't look particularly alike.
They have enough where I can see enough.
They kind of blew up at the same time. Maybe that's why I confused them. And this was before we knew Jim Caviezel was insane.
Well, that's because he got struck by lightning.
Oh yeah, he's. And evidently he's always been crazy, but we only just noticed it now when he's gone like full MAGA. But he was crazy before. Mm. But yeah, he, you know, I liked a few of his movies. I enjoyed Frequency with Dennis Quaid. That was a good one where the father son like speak to each other 40 years apart.
Right.
Did not Passion of the Christ, not as much. But yeah, I don't know why I always confuse them. Billy Crudup, far, far superior only because of Almost Famous. You know, I don't care about anything else he was in.
He's actually great in the morning show.
Oh yeah, I heard that. I have not seen that. Is that still on?
Is that still on?
Is that continuing? Because I know they spoiler alert they killed off Steve Carell's character, right? I believe, but that was several seasons back, so that's not really a spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, he wasn't in it that much anyway because he's the one that was like the Matt Lauer.
I was gonna say, wasn't he the Matt Lauer?
Yeah.
So, you know, rest in peace to whatever character that was. But those shows are weird now where because the streaming shows, they don't do a, hey, we're leaving in the spring, coming back in the fall thing. They might like be off the air.
No,
for years,
why would they?
Off the air for years. So I can never keep track of which shows are still on.
The strike kind of happened too. So
Yeah, that threw things off. But like Curb would just leave for 3 or 4 years and then go back.
Well, that's just like having the, so like So usually, I don't know, I mean, obviously the streamers now are allowing them to do it, but usually HBO and FX will let the showrunners and the creators do whatever the F they want. So if it's going to take you 2-3 years for another season, fine. Their contracts are really loose. And that's like FX started doing that with like Atlanta and Fargo and stuff because of what happened with do you remember what happened with True Detective for HBO?
Oh.
Like, I think they rushed the second season and it was awful.
Yeah.
And it was like,
we're going to give you some time.
People were not a fan.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, well, I know that HBO.
It's only for the more like dramatic type shows, too. I mean, comedy is different because Larry David is just busy or whatever, and he probably just didn't want to shoot for a while or whatever. Larry David could do whatever the hell he wants. Yeah. He has so much money.
No, that's what I was going to say, is that HBO has admitted as much, being like, yep, we would just let him do whatever he wants because we knew that whenever he wanted to come back, Curb was going to be huge. Who knows if it's even over now? I mean, he says it's over. They like tied it all up, but he could come back. You never know.
He's pretty old too. I mean, I would just like, if you had that much money, just like chill, man. I don't know. This whole
the press tour that Jerry Seinfeld's been doing lately because of that Pop-Tart movie, which evidently is terrible from what I hear. Though the one shining light from what I've heard is Hugh Grant playing Tony the Tiger from the Frosted Flakes. Evidently, he's very, very funny, which is not surprising at all.
I love Hugh Grant's career. He's like, doesn't care anymore. I love it.
No, and I watched Wonka recently, and I hadn't seen it, didn't see it in the theater, watched it recently. And he's clearly the best part. And he's just playing Hugh Grant because he's just become a grump. He's grumpy Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa, which is just brilliant.
Well, I mean, Keegan-Michael Key was pretty good in that movie.
Oh, yeah. No, honestly, I don't mean to speak ill of the movie because I enjoyed it a whole lot more than I thought I would. I had no idea it was that much of a musical. Like, I knew it was a musical. And to be honest, the original Wonka, we could call it a musical. There were only like 4 songs in it, but we could call it a musical. This one I was not expecting full musical, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it immensely. You know what? Timothée Chalamet, this kid's got talent. He's going to be around for a while, I think.
You think? Unless society burns off from the Chalamet. But Sam's been a Chalamet truther for a while.
If the Kardashians will ruin him, but whatever. Oh.
That's possible.
Wait, isn't there a rumor that Kylie's pregnant with his baby?
Well, there's.
I mean, she was wearing a really like fitted dress at the Met Gala. So if she is, it's early on. I don't know.
There were rumors of that. There's also rumors that they're no longer together. There's, you know what I? Okay, so Samantha, my sister, who you both know, one of her best friends is, you know, I've mentioned this before, married to Adam Mosseri, the head of Instagram.
Oh, right.
And they were at the Met Gala because obviously the head of Instagram gets an invitation, and Monica sent Samantha photos from inside, which was actually very cool because
I joke about
this every year, is that I was convinced for a long time there's nothing inside the Met Gala. I just thought they walked up the steps and then got into a different car at the top of the steps.
They have dinner. It's the Met. There's stuff all around them and they have a big dinner.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's an official rule or an unspoken rule that the media is not allowed to show photos from the inside.
Right.
But Monica, being inside, took photos and sent them to Samantha. Obviously, they're not meant to be posted. But Monica's table, she was sitting with Kylie. She was sitting with Cardi B. She was sitting with she sat next to Erykah Badu, which I feel like that would be an interesting conversation for the night.
That must have been so interesting for her.
Yeah, you know, and there were a few other people at the table, like names I can't recall, but I very much could ask Monica, did Kylie look pregnant? I don't know the answer to
that. She didn't, based on the red carpet. I mean, she was wearing a very fitted dress. It doesn't matter though. Good. No. If they want to procreate, great. I mean, she's been popping out babies since she was like, what, 21 or something?
No,
she's
so young.
She, 19
was the first one?
She was young. Well,
She's only like 20. What is she now? Like
23?
Is she like, I can't keep track because that family's been around for so long. But yeah, I don't know. The Met Gala, I guess, is fun for, you know, just the pictures pop up on the timeline. I'm not super into it, but people.
I love the dresses. I'm all about fashion.
They go all out. I'll give them that. When you see like the I worked red carpets for 10 years. You know, the some people take chances on like the Oscar carpet, but not really. But the Met Gala, they go all in, and some of them go all in knowing full well they're gonna get roasted. Like when Katy Perry wore the cheeseburger a few years ago. Mm. I don't even remember what the theme was that year, but I guarantee it wasn't cheeseburgers. Oh, was it camp? Okay. Then maybe she understood the assignment, I suppose.
It was very campy and I loved it. But it was silly and I'm sure she had a really hard time navigating.
There's that great photo that she released. I think it's Gaga, I want to say. It was another huge celebrity. I believe it was Lady Gaga that was helping her in the bathroom. It was like a photo from inside the ladies' room. And Katy Perry, the cheeseburger, like, opened. And she was wearing, like, a green leotard under it or something. And it's a photo of, like, whoever it was helping her with this giant cheeseburger taking it off. And it was hysterical. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a bold choice. And people remember it, so I guess that's what you're going for, because even the ones that wear like incredible gowns that people love, you don't really talk about them like after the fact. You're like, oh yeah, she looked great. And then you keep it moving. But everybody remembers like Katy Perry wearing a cheeseburger.
Yeah. I remember a lot just cause I love fashion though, but that's just me. But like, you know, Rihanna dressed up like a bishop, you know, one year.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just, if you think about it and you're like, huh, what was the theme? And you're just like, oh yeah, there was a lot of people that were really on point. I love like, you know, Blake Lively always shows up really with really good dresses and stuff too. But there's a couple iconic people that always like, you know, go all out. But the funny thing is about Katy Perry is that she wasn't even there. And apparently there's a whole bunch of AI.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw the AI photo, which you could tell it was AI because it was just a little too clean. But the thing that was funny is that the gown that was AI generated, everybody before they realized it was fake, and then even after the fact, they were like, you know what? That would have been the best gown of the night. Mm. It was computer generated, but it would have been the best gown of the night.
I love Gigi Hadid's gown. It was gorgeous. That was my favorite.
The men, well, because the men tend to be very boring. Not all. I mean, some of them go out, but a lot of them are just, they know that they're just the spouse, so they just wear like a tux. Don't go too crazy, but it is, some of the men do like Bad Bunny kind of went all out this year where
he was like the co-host or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. He and Zendaya. That's where I get confused is that it's one, people say Zendaya, but I feel like it's Zendaya. But like she was also one of the chairs. The co-chairs this year, but you know the one who always went all out, male, was Billy Porter. I didn't see if Billy Porter was there this year, but Billy Porter would go all out, and I respected the hell out of that. But most of the time, the men are very dull because that's, you know, whatever.
My favorite men. Well, I mean, it's not fair because he's a fashion designer, but it was there as a guest. It was Tom Ford, and he wore somebody else's. Somebody else did his outfit for him, and I forgot who it was. Tom Ford looked amazing, and he's also very good looking, so that's not fair.
He's a very good looking man. Yeah.
Even though I don't like him, Jack Harlow looked great.
Really? I'll have to look some of these up. You know who? Yeah. I mean,
Three Amigos, Jack Harlow. Yeah.
Okay, now you have my interest. Now I'm that Leonardo DiCaprio gif from Django, where you had my attention. Now you have my whatever that line was. I'll have to look that up. You know, one who I don't recall because he's been gone for a little while, but I'm sure that Andre Leon Talley did some crazy things.
He hosted. He hosted a couple of them, like, you know, like how they Vogue always has like somebody on the ground, like. This year they had a Lala Anthony doing a lot of the red carpet, and then also what's her name, Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones.
Oh,
and,
I saw hers. Yeah, she was going. She her look was very like Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah,
yeah. I saw
what
that.
Do you call her? Ashley Graham. Like her, Ashley Graham and Gwendolyn were like the co-hosts too. Okay. And it's so funny because like I forget that Lala Anthony is like really, really good friends with the Kardashians. So like, and the whole like group of people. So every time one of them came up, they were like super friendly, which is kind of nice. And I think that's why they hired her, because, you know, they're like, oh, they're friends and they could just talk like normal and be like casual and, you know, not be awkward. So good for Lala. I'm glad for her. She was just a VJ.
Yeah. And she, you know, she did. She still goes by the married name. I don't recall what her maiden name was. What?
Oh, no. So,
Lala Kent is from Vanderbilt Rules.
What was Lala's?
Which I am very familiar with now.
You've gotten down that.
Which is funny that I jumped in on Vanderpump Rules this year because it's sort of been canceled. So I picked a very bad year to jump in on it. I don't remember what Lala's, because when Lala was a VJ at MTV, I feel like she just went by Lala.
She just went. Yeah, she just went by Lala. I have no idea
what her last name was.
Her last name is Vasquez, but
I've never heard that.
Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, because she speaks very, very fluent Spanish. I think she.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, because she like interviewed Bad Bunny, and Bad Bunny can barely speak English, so they were just speaking Spanish.
Interesting.
And you can tell she was trying to like she spoke as much English as she could, but like she like understood everything that he was saying. But it was one of those things where I'm like, I feel bad for Bad Bunny. He like, you know, like he knows enough English, but it's more comfortable for him to speak in Spanish. So just do it. You know, it's fine.
That's the whole thing. You see
half the audience.
You see that with athletes all the time. Shohei Ohtani speaks English, but he's not comfortable enough speaking it. So he uses an interpreter.
Yeah, that's worked
same
out
with
well for him.
Ichiro. Ichiro never did interviews in English. But all his he always used a translator, and people, you know, the speak English folks in America were like, how did he never learn English? And all of Ichiro's teammates were like, no, he spoke fluent English. He just didn't want to do interviews. And that happens. But Bad Bunny, you're right. Bad Bunny legit his, you know, it's not his first language. I wonder what he and Kendall Jenner would ever talk about. I mean, maybe she speaks Spanish. I don't know.
They didn't need to talk about anything.
That's true. They're both beautiful people.
I don't know if there's much to say.
Yeah, they don't really need to do much. She seems very dull, too, so I don't know how interesting she would be to talk to in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah, you went there, didn't you?
She's what? She's dull. They're all dull. You think Kim doesn't seem particularly interesting to have a conversation.
Chloe.
I feel like Chloe would be fun to talk to.
Because she was the ugly one.
Technically. She's not the ugly one. She was just the different. She had a different look than the others. She was
they
taller,
all had a different look
taller.
At one point in time, my friend.
That's a fair point. You know, there's the rumors that always the rumors that she even jokes about, so it's not like they're that far-fetched that she was OJ's kid.
Yeah, I think we went down that rabbit hole and Simpson died, so
You know what, fine. I mean I don't want, you know, but yeah, you know.
Oh, so did anyone pop in on the trial this past week or this week?
I follow. I refuse to watch it. But yeah, I can't watch. I refuse to watch any video footage of him. So I like, just because his mannerisms and things just annoy me so much that I keep up to date on everything, but I have to read it. I cannot watch video of him.
I understand this. I usually catch if there's a commentary on a clip and they cut the clip, I'll move to the end of the clip and listen to the person comment on what the clip was saying.
But I can't watch the news because that's all it is. It seems like he's trying his very, very best to get put in jail just for the contempt thing. Like he's doing
well.
The judge has given him such a like so much rope.
So he had the 9 contempt charges that he was found guilty of. He warned him that the next time he will go to. Then he did his 10th. Nothing came of it. So we'll see. Like, he's gonna push that button until he doesn't. He can't push it.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Well, no. He's trying to push it. He wants to be put in jail. So then he can whine about how he's been persecuted and put in jail.
Yeah.
And the judge could not. Like every lawyer that you could. Every lawyer who's come out and said anything is like, my client, if you know, non-Trump. If it was any other client, these lawyers are saying would have been put in jail the first time around, not the 10th warning.
No.
But yeah, no. I just like you, Sam. I can't. I'll read about it, but I can't.
He could be a martyr, I guess. That's what he wants.
Well, that's what he's going for. He's their Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He want, like, who have you ever seen any defendant of any kind give press conferences on their way in and out of the courtroom every day? That's not something I've seen before. Yeah, it's, I try to avoid politics discussions at all. You know, it's with a lot of my family members, I have family members who are on both sides. Mm. And as soon as politics come up, I just leave the room. Because I have no interest, especially this year.
There's so much happening in the world. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I think USC is having their graduation. They're having like a celebration now, but they canceled the main graduation. LMU had their graduation just fine because they're a Jesuit university, so they're like, and they're private, so they didn't have any issues on campus or anything. And John Legend spoke, which was awesome because I was able to stream it.
Oh, nice! Well, that's cool.
Because Josh goes to the graduation every year.
Yeah, sure.
Janelle Monae spoke at the graduate one, so that was cool.
That's very cool. Yeah. Well, did UCLA cancel theirs? I have not heard.
It's in June, so
that
it's a quarter system. So.
I recall, yes.
There's nobody on campus like protesting now. They keep arresting people. Yeah. It's, you know, there's a lot of graffiti. Like, it got really, really bad because unlike LMU, like UCLA, you can't really close out people from the public. We have a hospital. We have like all these, like, you know the landscape of UCLA. Mm-hmm. You can't close up any of those entrances or exits ever. So people that aren't UCLA students or part of the UCLA world can easily come on campus. So
especially over by Powell and Royce where they were protesting, right, where those encampments were. That's a short walk from like Sunset. You know, you could just walk right over.
And there's a turnaround right there, and you could just like drop people off or like, you know, park. My whole thing is like, where do people park? Because you know, parking sucks there.
That's a good point.
But no, like they had to cancel and do remote classes. Like I couldn't take my kid to daycare because the daycare was closed for a few days. It was awful, and I just felt like they could have handled it a lot better. That's all.
Oh yeah, God, yeah.
Because both sides were not happy, and that's not good.
No.
Were happy? The cops who got to use their gear. They were happy.
Oh, yeah. They got to do their cosplay. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is that, like, UCPD is, they're the ones that are on campus, and they have to actually, that's the whole reason why they're being investigated. They have to call the police, and the response time took so long because, like, technically, UCLA is like, we have our own ecosystem, we have our own UCPD, we have everything. So in order for the police to actually intervene, you have to get permission. There's like a whole process involved. So, but anyway, it's just sad, and I just feel bad because, like, we don't need more violence, people. That's the whole point. Everybody was peacefully protesting for a while. That's the whole, like, you know, all the universities, Berkeley, UCLA, like, every decade there's always some sort of movement that happens.
I'm surprised. I have not heard much from Berkeley. Like, you know. A national standpoint, especially in the Midwest here, obviously Columbia gets a lot of press, but UCLA and USC for sure did. Locally, Washington University, which I live right next to, which is not it's a smaller school, but it's a well-known school. It's like top 20 every year. They had a ton of protests. I run through the school, like every day I go through the campus. I love like running or walking through the campus, and there were a lot of protests. I haven't seen protesters in a while, but commencement is this weekend. They're building the stage, and they put chain link fence around the entire campus today. Like I couldn't go. I tried to do my usual run through it, and I couldn't because it's surrounded by fencing now. It looks like a prison.
You have to keep the riffraff out.
Yeah, but it looks like a prison. It's crazy. Yeah, like me, exactly. But it's a smaller campus. Like putting fencing around USC would be impossible. But, you know, so the WashU smaller, so you can. But it's still, you look at it, you're like, oh, now it looks like a prison. That's crazy. But it's only this weekend because of the graduation.
Have you noticed that all schools look like prisons now?
Well, weren't they? I mean, if you ask any students, weren't they always prison?
Well, yeah, but I mean, everyone has a fence now. You can't get in. Like,
well, yeah, I mean,
well, no, that's universities. I'm talking about schools.
No, but like, you're absolutely right. A high school.
Well, it's because of school shootings.
But yeah, but
that's more shootings than anything. But yeah, my high school, you need badges to get in. It used to be a very open campus. Students could leave, like, you know, we could go out to lunch. If people could go visit, like, alums would always come back and be like, oh yeah, because, you know, walking around the
now the, you have to check in to go check out
Now you need guest passes, you need to sign in. I was dog sitting last week right next to my old high school, and I kids are swiping badges to get in.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh man, that is, I mean, granted, when we were in high school, that was pre-Columbine, so school shootings were not a thing.
When was Columbine? 97?
Well, I'd rather...
Were we first or second year for Columbine? I think first year, because I actually remember being in my dorm room while it was happening, and it was my freshman year dorm room, so I'm pretty sure it happened.
It was 1999?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm actually, in fact, I'm almost positive, because this year would be 25 years,
April of 99.
Really makes me upset that we're at 25 years from that. Hell, Sam, like, you sent me that thing the other day about Sarah McLachlan's, her, was it 30th of Fumbling Towards Ecstasy?
Fumbling Towards Ecstasy, yeah.
Oh,
crazy, right?
God, when I see all this shit, like,
so good.
Like Reality Bites being 30 years old, Empire Records next year is going to be 30 years old. Not happy about this. Not happy.
We old.
We are.
But also, like, how lucky were we as teenagers to watch all that stuff? Not all the crap that comes out now sucks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You've talked about this because I know you've watched a few good ones, but I feel like the era of the teen rom-com is just, it's not what it
doesn't
used
exist.
To be.
It's like Nickelodeon. Like,
well, there's a few that are on Netflix. There are a few that I've heard are very good. Sam, you've told me are very good, but they're not like the iconic level.
Yeah.
Like,
no, but there's no like teen ones that are good. Like, there's no Clueless.
No, Clueless.
There's not even, like, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Can't anything. Hardly Wait. Like, we, She's All That. We had such a solid, like, 5 or 6 year run of so many good ones.
No, but and even like drama ones, like, and like Friday Night Lights,
Save
and
the Last
Varsity
Dance.
Blues. Save the Last Dance, Varsity Blues, you know, all that stuff. Even just like stupid ones when we were in college, like Van Wilder and Eurotrip and stuff, that doesn't exist anymore.
No. The kids these days, but you know, the people generation before us had the John Hughes movies. So it's not like we were the only ones to get it. It feels like we were the last ones to get it, because I don't remember them really being
Well, they
that.
Have like High School Musical now and all this stuff from the Gen Zers. I don't know about now.
That's not Gen Z.
The Gen Zers love the High School Musical.
They do, actually, yeah. Well, Gen Alpha, like, the girls have been watching, like, I've watched now the High School Musicals. I'm like, never thought that would happen. It's like,
I saw the first one, I think.
There's at least three.
And then they made a show, too. Wasn't there, like, a High School the Musical, the show? Because that's where Olivia Rodrigo got her start, on the show. But I feel like the Gen Z, well, not Gen Z, but Gen Alpha, like, they don't have it's the TikToks. Like, it's the short attention span. There's not, like, full-length shows anymore.
But, okay.
Kira barely watches any movies anymore. Like, she just watches, like, YouTube and, like, TV shows.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Sad.
Like,
if you're in the theater, she'll watch it. Like, she'll sit down if you're in a theater. But, like, their attention spans are just way too short now.
I it feels like I come back to this all the time, Hugh, but just seeing what box office is now compared to what it used to be, it's just wild to me. You have these movies that are having like $30 million opening weekends, and the studios are happy with that. I feel like 10 years ago, a $30 million opening for a big budget movie would have been a massive failure. The expectations are so low. Yeah, the COVID thing for sure. It's streaming COVID, absolutely. But like Fall Guy made this weekend, I think made like 28, and the studios weren't even all that upset about it, even though the movie cost like $200 million. So it's probably has no chance of getting its money back.
Right.
But it's just wild to me.
It will internationally.
Yeah, it probably will eventually. And they were saying that I don't remember if it's the last Ryan Reynolds movie, Ryan Gosling. Like, some of his movies tend to catch, you know, they snowball. So like it might end up doing fine in the long run. But and we were also very spoiled that 10 years ago were like the Marvel movies that were making just obscene amounts of money, like $200 million in an opening weekend. Hmm. I think I saw today that today is like the 12-year anniversary of the first Avengers, which that also makes me feel old. Yeah, not happy.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's...
I mean, I already know I'm old. I can't... I played pickleball yesterday and I can't move. It's... Sam, have you ever played pickleball?
I'm not, like, seriously. But I actually texted Ben because it was his birthday and he told me...
Yeah. Ben's a very easy birthday to remember because it's Cinco de Mayo. He invited me and with his he has a pickleball group with all the local sports writers, and they're more advanced. They're pretty advanced. I was the only beginner, and I was such a beginner that I had to read the rule book before leaving, because I honestly for life me I was like, I don't remember the rules of pickleball because I played it 30 years ago when I was 12. And not complicated, but it was tough because it was the first time I gave my hips a go, and I move like an old man now. I move like I can run in a straight line. I could run 20 miles without much. My cardio is fine, but the side to side movement that I had not attempted yet was shockingly bad. And it wasn't that I was in pain. It was just my hips are so tight that I had no lateral movement. Mm-hmm. I moved like an old man. And it got better as the game, you know, as the games went on. We played for several hours. But yeah, Hugh, I know we were talking about yesterday. Have you played it?
I've never played it. No.
That's what I'm so impressed by, is that I was dead after 3 hours of playing it. So tired. I was sore. And you see all these like septuagenarians out there playing it every day. And granted, they're maybe not as going all out as I was with young people who play a lot. So they were
3 hours,
you know,
a long time, mate.
Well, we had 10 people in two courts, so you could rotate. We were playing doubles and rotating in and out. So you got a breather, but it's a tough sport. And Hugh, like I don't have quite your tennis background, but I played tennis growing up. And I thought the skill set would be similar enough. It was not. The everything about it, like the just hitting the ball, because obviously you don't have strings and the ball doesn't bounce. So I was constantly either hitting into the net or sailing it because I was hitting it too hard. It is, and topspin does not. I think you would struggle because probably. You're so used to tennis and the game is just totally different. But it's fun. I see why people are obsessed with it.
I think what it would be is like the idea of what the game is and the strategies of the game are the same in a manner. Speaking of angle, like it's more the angles.
Angles, but I mean, it has certain rules where you can't serve in volley because they don't want you crushing away. It's the court so small.
Yeah.
There's an area next to the nets kitchen. That you cannot the kitchen where you cannot volley in there, which makes sense because otherwise you're going to smack somebody in the face with a wiffle ball.
Right.
But otherwise, yeah, the game's pretty similar. But, you know, I just was dying afterwards. And, of course, I made a very inappropriate Matthew Perry joke since he died after playing 2 hours of pickleball. Mm. Rest in peace. But yeah, you know, it's a thing I would definitely do. This group does it like once a week. I would join them once a week, but it's not. I'm just very impressed by these older folks that are doing it every day. And I guess if I played it every day, I would not be sore, I suppose. But
yeah, you could just build up to it. That's the whole point, you know?
Yeah, I think that was the thing, is that, you know, I hadn't played any sort of competitive sport in 5 or 6 years, probably longer than that. Actually, absolutely longer than that. Hugh, we never did any competitive sports.
No.
So I couldn't even tell you the last time. And that was back with the original hip. So, but anyway, if anybody's looking to get into it, I do recommend it. It's a fun sport. I get why people are obsessed.
I think I think I have to play it sometime in the near future. So I'm going to give it a go. I'm just fearful of injury because it is the number one, like,
Yeah, no, they said that ACL injuries, Achilles injuries, like all these things that just all these are up. And people, you know, people get, you can tear your Achilles or tear an ACL doing anything.
Yeah.
But they said so many people are playing pickleball now and they tend to be older. So you are seeing these like huge spikes in injuries, which I was very fortunate to not have that happen. And as far as I know, I wasn't playing with anybody that had that happen. But, you know, it was fun. It was a good time.
But, yeah, no. This is one of those things. It's like, remember when, what was it, P90X was a thing about 15 years ago now?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was going in for injuries for that, and then it was like CrossFit injuries. It was like
P90X
was like the precursor to CrossFit. And now,
the precursor to the precursor to CrossFit was Ty Bo.
Oh, you
really want to go back to the our college era, the Billy Blanks Ty Bo, which now if you tried to explain that to like a Zoomer, I don't know how you would even.
Ty Bo was the best.
It was like martial arts mixed with aerobics. Like it was
more hardcore Zumba.
But I remember. I mean, Ty Bo really blew up when we were in college. And I remember there was a Ty Bo studio in Sherman Oaks right on Ventura, right almost exactly across the street from the Sherman Oaks Galleria, where Billy Blanks himself would teach the classes. And I had some friends like UCLA friends that would go all the way out to the Valley because they wanted to be taught by Billy Blanks, which I never did. Hell, I mean, Krav Maga was a big thing. I remember Chen used to do that when we lived right next to it, and she got me to do it a couple times. Now that is something I was sore from. I don't know. Do people still do Krav Maga? I feel like I have not heard that in a while.
I think there might have been a little bit of a decrease recently.
Yeah, it might be a little bit of a flashpoint right now to be doing Israeli martial arts. Probably might get something, but I just haven't. I feel like I haven't heard. You know, I feel like CrossFit.
I hear Krav Maga come up whenever people. Like train for films and stuff.
Oh, that makes sense.
Talk about like doing Krav Maga, like for Marvel movies and stuff like that. Mm. So it's still there. That makes sense. On Olympic is still there.
Is it? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, she would go all the time. I only went a few times with her, but she, you know, she went a lot. It was tough.
It's hardcore. I can't.
Yeah, who needs exercise? Exercise is a young person's game. I'm done. I'm out.
You're lying to us.
Oh, I'm lying. But no, that type of exercise. Oh, I'm not. Okay. I don't know if I could. I do not know if I could physically do. Well, I know I cannot do Krav Maga, but I don't know if I could physically do any sort of circuit training. Certainly not CrossFit.
Pilates.
You know, Pilates. You know what? Pilates actually would be a good idea for me because that would help me stretch the hips out.
Yeah.
That was my problem yesterday was that it's so tight that I couldn't, I have trouble moving. Pilates actually is a great idea. Pilates or yoga. Those are two things. I like my orthopedic surgeon said yoga and swimming. He said were the two best things for me to do.
Hmm.
But you know, who has a pool? And I don't.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, not around here. The backyard pool is not. It's not as common in the Midwest as it is in.
No, but the YMCA or something like there.
Yeah, there's a public pool. There's a public pool, but I don't trust. I don't really want to be in a public pool. You know,
frowning down upon the public pool, Nate.
Yeah, kinda.
I don't blame you. Any place that has a sign that says if you've had diarrhea in the last 2 weeks,
the 14 days. Well, I wonder where did they come up with the 14 days? I would like
to know.
I'm
sure they tested it out.
I am sure it's just that they picked a long enough period of time, but I just always wondered why 14.
I think it's bacteria related. I think it's their science involved.
Probably. I'm sure there is. I'm sure. They don't. I mean, peeing in a pool doesn't seem to be a problem. Nobody seems to complain about that.
I do. Guess,
you know. Well, no, complain, yes. But I mean, pools, they don't have signs up because, I mean, honestly, how would you know? It's except for that, like, the movie Grown Ups where there was that, like, blue dye in the pool that could show you when somebody peed, it turned super dark blue.
I used to always think that was a thing. Like,
I didn't. Yeah. Is that a real thing? Or was that just a joke from the movie?
I think it's more of an urban legend because I was told as a child that if you pee in the certain pools, like it'll turn red where you pee. So that was my fear. Yeah. So I never peed in
a pool.
That's
what the ocean's for. Pee in the ocean.
Yeah, the ocean, fine. Ocean is the largest toilet in the world.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hugh, I don't know if you saw, I sent you the thing on Twitter. I know you don't go on Twitter much, but how people are really upset about the Boy Scouts and Swiss Army.
Oh, yeah,
Army.
Did you see that? Yes.
I don't know, Sam, I don't know if you saw it, but Boy Scouts is dropping boy from the name. Now it's just called Scouting America. And of course, all the we're going woke folks are very upset about it because they're allowing
Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. Sorry,
Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts is just the age.
Yeah,
Cub Scout, like same with Brownies and Girl Scouts. Like if you're younger, you're a Brownie, and then I don't know what the minimum age to be a Girl Scout is, but the same with Boy Scouts. I feel like it's like teenager is the cutoff. But for a few years now, the Boy Scouts have started allowing girls in.
Yeah.
Which of course the woke mob is like, you know, very upset about that. Girl Scouts is very upset about that because Girl Scouts of America is a separate organization and they were upset that Boy Scouts were poaching people. But now that girls are welcome in the Boy Scouts, they drop the boy. And so people are furious about it, which is dumb. And they admitted, they flat out admitted, they're not doing it to be more inclusive. They're doing it because nobody's joining the Boy Scouts anymore. Like, they're welcoming everybody because nobody's joining it anymore. Like, Sam, I know you have daughters, but do children still do that? I mean, the Girl Scouts I know because I see a lot of girls selling cookies, but I don't
Definitely
know
Girl
any.
Scout.
Like, I don't, like, I guess I don't have any. I don't have any friends with sons of that age to know if Boy Scouts is still a big thing.
It's still a thing.
It's still a thing. It's not a big thing. There's Cub Scouts too. So I have friends that are in Cub Scouts, and Kira was actually going to join Cub Scouts because to be honest, like the difference is like the dads are the ones that are taking the girls to Cub Scouts so they could learn basic camping skills versus the moms taking the girls to Girl Scouts. Like, literally, Girl Scouts, I know that they do some things, but, like, they sell cookies and they do, like, a couple things here and there. But, like, for me, Cub Scouts is way more practical because you're learning how to build a fire. You're learning how to do, like, all these camping skills and survival skills. So
I don't know how much it's changed. Samantha was a Girl Scout, and obviously that was a long time ago. But I remember that the Girl Scouts always had very antiquated, like you said, the Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts would learn camping skills, outdoor skills, and it felt like a lot of the Girl Scouts were like sewing skills and things that we should not still be doing.
Yeah.
You know, they,
it's very antiquated.
I mean, the
selling the cookies is like selling like marketing and stuff. I get that, but it's still not.
It's a great
ideal
scheme for the Girl Scouts. I actually went to a Scouts meeting for one of the elders' friends is in the Scouts, and so there was like a Scouts troop of girls. And it's still separated in that sense, but it was like it was a big, you know, local meeting of all the scout teams or numbers, whatever they are.
Girl Scouts or Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts?
Boy Scouts.
Which one are you talking about?
But they're now the Scouts.
Okay.
The Scouts. And so I'm like, it was a fairly sized, you know, room, which, you know, there were about like 70, 80 kids in there at least. So it's still like,
but honestly,
okay. All right.
So honestly, like the reason why I can't do it is because the chapter that my daughter would go to is near her school and they meet on Wednesday, every Wednesday, by the way, which I think is unnecessary. You don't have to meet every freaking week, by the way. Like, why? And it's like between 3 and 4. And I once you check your kid out of school for an activity, you can't check them back in because she has after school care. So I'm like, what is she going to do between 4 and 6 for a 1 hour meeting for Girl Scouts? So like, she just can't go. And I'm like, it's the most like inconvenient time for working moms. For stay at home moms, great. But for working moms, like, I'm not going to check out my kid and then have her stay at a friend's house, like, once a week. Like, I don't think it's fair for that mom.
And also, she's just kind of like, eh, I don't really feel like doing it. Like, she was just very, like, whatever about it. Mm. So I'm like, all right, if you're not going to push and, like, really, really want to join, I'm not going to sign you up.
Yeah, no.
That's been our ongoing motto for most things with her activities. So
fully agree. It's not just a commitment for them. It's a commitment for you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I was like, because when the scouts thing came in, I met a couple of the parents. They're like, oh, we're so excited that, you know, she might want to do this. I'm like, I'm not. I'll be honest. I'm like, I don't want to go out in the woods. I don't like the woods that much. I don't mind going for a walk. Was that a lightning storm?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got torn. I mean, that's you guys can see me. I'm sitting in the dark because there's a tornado.
Fine.
That was loud.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're expecting tornadoes in like an hour.
Dude, I know that you were in like Missouri, Oklahoma area, but I didn't realize that it was affected. You have a basement, right?
Yeah. Tornadoes, whatever the science is behind it, you know, they don't generally hit cities. That's why you always see rural areas. But so we generally, when tornadoes hit the area, we just get the rain and the thunder and the lightning. We don't get the actual.
Didn't I see something that the actual arc has something to the arch has something to do with the fact that you don't get the storms?
Yeah, it's something to do with metal. Like I don't off the top of my head don't know. There is a science behind why tornadoes do not hit cities, and it has something to do with like the towers, like metal and towers and something. Somebody listening to this he's an idiot trying to explain it. But yes, you are absolutely right. There is a reason that it does not hit, but we get the tornado alarms. Like yesterday at about 6 a.m., tornado alarms are an eerie sound.
Yeah, it's a bomb.
Yeah, it sounds like a bomb. Like, you know, like the alarms our parents would have gotten back in the 50s.
Air horn, air raid.
Yeah,
horn.
Air siren, like an air siren. It's a creepy thing to hear. Even though I know the twister is not usually going to land that near me, that sound is creepy.
And then the silence after. And on that fine note, we're going to get going. Hopefully, Nate will be back for next week.
If not, we know why.
Oh. Well, that was loud, dude.
Yeah. Yes.
There's no place like home, Nate.
Yeah, I might end up in Oz.
You hope.
You know what? I kind of do. Oz didn't look like a bad place, to be honest with you.